Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
If you have had a kid in the last 3 decades, then you definitely know Melissa Bernstein. She, along with her husband Doug, founded the New England-based toy company Melissa and Doug in the 80s in their basement. Since then, they've had wild success selling classic, wholesome, colorful kids' toys, all designed by Melissa. It is now a $500 million company. But while the toys she designed brought so much joy and happiness to millions of kids, Melissa has long suffered with anxiety and depression. As their company grew more successful, Melissa sunk deeper into a dark despair, struggling alone. Now she's opening up about that struggle. She's out with a new memoir, and together with Doug, has launched a new company, Lifelines. It's an online community for people struggling with mental health, totally free, that features a podcast series and a video series with talks and events. Melissa joins us now. Melissa Bernstein, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming, Melissa, and for sharing your story. I know that costs a person something to do that, and I want to dig into it. I also want to invite our listeners to join us. Listeners, share your own experiences with anxiety and depression, especially where have you gotten support that helped you, or where do you wish you had gotten support? The number 800-423-8255, that's 1-800-423-TALK. Melissa, when did you know that a part of you, that your being, while you were sending so much joy out into the world, also had this deep darkness? I think you've called it existential depression.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, my mother says that I was born with it because I screamed 24/7 for the first year of my life. But I think from the moment I could perceive feeling and perceive thoughts, you know, I had these three questions in my mind that never left. Why am I here? What is the meaning of life if I am ultimately going to expire? And what am I supposed to do during my brief time here?
Melissa, those are, in fact, the existential questions of life. I mean, people have spent millennia trying to answer those questions. You were carrying the weight of feeling you were responsible for knowing the answers of those since childhood?
Exactly. Since my earliest days, I pondered those questions. And because nobody could give me the answers, because I couldn't even really verbalize them, much less get the answers, I was left with this utter sense of futility. Like, why am I just going through the motions for no ultimate reason? And why is it so absurd what everyone else is doing?
How did you cope with that early in your life?
Such a great question. I mean, I think two ways. You know, one was I retreated to the vast, boundless expanse of imagination, and that's where all my creativity was. And I did a ton of creative things, dark creative things, but I wrote these rhyming verses from the time I was probably age 3. And I also wrote music, very dark, despairing music. But my imagination was also a beautiful place. I had imaginary friends. It was entirely in my control. But when I had to live here, you know, in the world, I basically ended up denying, repressing, and disassociating from everything I felt and anchoring to achievement, performance, and validation through success.
Tell me a little bit about the poetry that you've written, the verses that you've written over time to express your feelings. I'm wondering if you would feel comfortable reading us something you've written, some short verse.
Absolutely. I mean, I write them every day. And some days, if I'm a little more despairing, I might write 10 in one day. And they're just very simple. But, you know, I was thinking about one sort of for today. They will not accept our darkness, fearful that it might infect them, when those hiding in the shadows just want others to accept them.
Who's they?
The others, society, the world. You know, for those of us despairing, we feel completely cast aside by society.
I want to invite our listeners one more time, Melissa, because you've been so generous to offer to talk to anybody who might want to call in and share where they've found resources, how they've made it through their journey of anxiety and depression. If that's you, listeners, call 800-423-8255. Melissa, I'm mindful that a minute ago you said part of the way you dealt was working towards success. And you met Doug. The two of you took a huge gamble, launched a new toy company in your basement. You poured your creativity into it, designing, pitching all your toys. I guess I have two questions. You know, one, was that a part of your coping mechanism, or was that a gift that came in meeting Doug, or was it both?
Oh, that's an amazing question. So I guess I know now, and I never believed it and I never associated with it, that I am a creative person. And I think when you're creative in your being, you know, it can channel into a multiplicity of avenues. And I never knew ever that I had the ability to design toys. So I think it was just an accident in both of us deciding to form a toy company that it had the ability to channel into toys. But when it did, it was one of the most extraordinary moments of my life because, you know, I had spent the prior 22 years creating incessantly. I mean, it was my innate form of finding solace, but because that creativity was, as I mentioned, so dark and despairing and never saw light, it never had the ability to give me the meaning I was seeking. But when I realized that I could take that very same anguish, that bird, that those dark verses and the dark music, and actually channel them instead into toys, something so light and bright that it had the ability to bring children joy, I felt like I could breathe fresh air for the very first time.
And did you do that on your own, or did you have professional help as you made that transition?
Do you mean the help of a therapist?
I do.
Oh, that's an amazing question. So, you know, my facade of perfection basically meant that I could never admit I needed help or was broken. And I didn't even remotely come to the point where I admitted I needed professional help until I truly succumbed to the deluge of emotions that I had been repressing my entire life. And that was in my late 40s. So no, at 22, when we formed Melissa and Doug, I wasn't even remotely close to ever admitting that I needed help or even admitting that I had an issue.
So I might ask you, especially since part of this conversation is that you are now telling your story and wanting to reach out and help others. How did you, I mean, what got you to the point where you knew you needed and wanted professional help and felt ready to avail yourself of that?
Great question. So I was in what I call the futile race. And a psychiatrist recently told me there's a psychiatric name for it. It's called manic distress my entire life. Because the drumbeat of mortality and that existential despair was so loud and was telling me really that I shouldn't live, that life is futile and just take your life now because it's not worth it in the end. But I didn't want to succumb to it. So I raced away from those thoughts, engaging in continual and incessant activity. And mine was a form of high achievement, right? Creating, birthing children, moving, accessing knowledge, and moving as fast as I could to try to drown out that overwhelming despair. But ultimately, I was in pain. I was resisting the pain with this constant movement. And the suffering became so great that I was By my mid-40s, I was so exhausted that I started to know that I couldn't do this much longer. And I started to hear, you know, that cry of my own soul to be seen authentically started to get louder and louder until, honestly, I pretty much just succumbed. And I was like, I can't do this any longer. I need help. I can't do it alone. And I need to stop racing, take a breath, and finally take that journey inward and accept myself in totality. And I think, you know, I wrote a verse about that too, because these verses became my mantras. And it was basically, we spend every waking moment chasing answers far and wide when fulfillment is awaiting down the wondrous path inside. And like, I always knew that fulfillment was inside me, and that was the only place I was going to find it. Yet I was too terrified to make that journey inward to accept myself.
Are you ready to take a call?
Oh my goodness, am I?
All right, we've got Dennis calling from Worcester. Dennis, go ahead.
Hello. Yep, this is Dennis. Melissa, I just want to thank you for having this discussion publicly and honestly and bravely. I've suffered with depression. I now know my entire life, and while I don't have particular avenues where I found support, particularly this last moment where you discuss that endless race to avoid looking within, as if mm-hmm. as if you're running at the edge of a pit of quicksand.
Yes.
Only in the last 2 years did I realize that I absolutely could not avoid whatever this internal gravity was by chasing mm-hmm. change and accomplishment. And it can be lonely and terrible, and without the right friends who treated me like I was not crazy, I wouldn't be in as good a place as I am today. And without people willing to tell their stories as you are, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have believed myself that stopping to actually look and examine this wasn't the most dangerous thing I could possibly do.
Yes,
thank you so much.
I love what you said, Dennis, and it's so true. And you know, I took the philosophical path as well as the psychotherapeutic path. And the philosophical path was the first time I didn't feel crazy myself in doing this, because basically the philosopher said that anxiety, or they called it angst, is essential and necessary to go from inauthentic living to authentic living. And when I saw that deep anxiety that I had raced away from was the only way I was going to actually be authentic and find my fulfillment, I knew that I had to jump into that abyss, and that in there was how the only way I would find my truth.
So Melissa, I want to talk now in our remaining time, we have a little time left, about what you and Doug are doing now with Lifelines. And I want to acknowledge, you know, you've been tremendously financially successful. Those resources were available to you as you were taking steps to get help. Talk about what you're trying to do with Lifelines and what it can offer those who don't have the same resources.
Yes, and that is why we are doing this, to offer those who are isolated, alone, know that there is someone who cares about them. So lifelines.com is an ecosystem that is entirely free that Doug and I are funding to show people, one, that they are not alone. And I grew up feeling so stigmatized by these feelings that were so dark and these qualities that made me a creative that were so odd that I don't want anyone to feel that way again. So we accept and embrace everyone exactly as they are. Two, we want to show everyone that they all have the capacity within to channel their darkness into light and make meaning. And we all have these sparks of self-expression in our soul that we can kindle and connect with others and find meaning. And then three, as I mentioned, so many of us are engaged in this futile race away from authentic living, authenticity, and away from who we truly are. And it's not until we stop that racing and have that courage to jump into the abyss and ultimately accept ourselves in totality that we will ever find fulfillment or peace. And that journey, I took that journey, that exact journey is the centerpiece of our ecosystem, and anyone can take it, and we offer it entirely free.
So, you know, we have a caller. We won't have time to get to, but I do want to bring Mary's thought forward from Andover. You know, we have known that more and more of us are feeling depression and anxiety, having mental health challenges during the pandemic. How are we doing as a public in having this conversation in this moment as we become increasingly aware of our communal mental health struggles?
Well, I mean, I think our mental health system is entirely broken in this country. And I mean, we are just at such a tipping point where the conversation needs to change, the stigma needs to be removed, and we need to support our population if we are going to move forward. And we need to have mental wellness start from the time children are in preschool so that we can build our muscles. And when things happen, like a pandemic, like tragedies in our lives, we're better equipped to deal with them.
Melissa Bernstein is the co-founder of the Connecticut-based toy company Melissa and Doug. Her new company is Lifelines, a free online community for people struggling with mental health. Melissa, thanks for joining us and sharing your story today.
Thank you, Tiziana.
And listeners, if you are listening today and you're struggling, the number for the 24/7 National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.